I'm so glad that you have joined us today for Faith, Family, and Freedom. I think it's going to be an outstanding program. We have different segments, different segues in which you hopefully will be educated and perhaps inspired. We are going to have to get right into the program. We have so much to share with you. Let's join in on this message right now. The Bible says here, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The questions here over in Matthew 24, I believe it is, there are three separate questions. They wanted to know, when will you restore the kingdom, and at what time shall these things be? And the Lord is asking or answering their questions. I believe that when the Lord resurrected and he told Mary not to touch him, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, I believe that he was taking his own blood and putting it upon the mercy seat of God. After that, these are 40 days, then he's seen again, and then on the 50th day, he makes his ascension. I believe that we see here the Holy Ghost, and we see the purpose of the Holy Ghost is that ye shall be witnesses.
Right.
Without the power of the Holy Ghost, you can't witness or witness very effectively.
Right.
You can't preach very effectively. You can't sing very effectively without the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Todd went with me the other day, and I think he preached to me about most of the way down to Kentucky, and I said, it's wonderful. He was really talking to me about how that the Holy Ghost had dwelt in him now, and that he had put all negativity behind him, that he's looking positively. I think our sign out here, when you leave the door, says you are now entering the mission field. The purpose of the church is to take the gospel to various places. Notice he said you're going to start in Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. I don't know, Judea could be Hartford City, or it might be Marion. Then he said you're going to go to Samaria, which was a farther distance. The Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews because they were not fully biologically Jews. And he said, you're going to then finally take it to the uttermost part of the earth. Back probably in my dad's day, when he was ordained in 1935 at the old Fellowship Church in Wayne County, Kentucky, they might have questioned, how can this be that we're going to take the gospel into the uttermost part of the earth? At that time, I don't believe that mission work was emphasized as much, although in the 1800s, there up in the New England area, Samuel J. Mills and four of his buddies there came in from a driving rainstorm, got under a haystack, and they call it the Haystack Revival. And Samuel J. Mills made a great statement. He is considered the initiator or the beginner of the American Mission Association. And he said something that I have tried to remember. He said, "We can if we will." I think today that we need a can-do attitude. I've said it before, and I say it again. You can't live on the street called Kent. If your every response is Kent, we need to change that. For example, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. That's Philippians 4:19. And notice here that the Lord was taken up in a cloud. Why? Because he's going to go away. And they said, why, this Jesus is going to come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now notice here that the power of the Holy Ghost cannot be overemphasized. I don't think we study that enough. But I want to give you my little interpretation, and it's meek and weak, it's weak at best. But God manifests himself through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And yet we just worship one God.
Right.
Now I know that can get very confusing. But in the Old Testament, God the Father was for man. He would manifest himself at various places. He would show himself in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But when Christ was here, for beyond the 12th year and the 30th year, we know very little about his ministry. The last 3.5 years is what we know mainly about Christ's ministry. But today that he is gone from us in present, in his bodily form, we have the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And I think today that we don't overall do a very good job, maybe across the land and country I'm talking about, of explaining or trying to show the importance of the Holy Ghost. First of all, people don't come to Christ unless they are bidden by the Holy Ghost. A man must see himself lost. You can put it under any umbrella that you want to. You can call it repentance. You can call it acknowledgement. But a person, first of all, has to see himself lost. I was talking with a lady yesterday, and she was talking about various beliefs, and I don't mean this to be ugly, but we, in our church world, we don't believe that the Pope is infallible. We don't believe that Mary is God. We don't believe that by saying certain rosaries or beads, that absolves us of sin. We don't believe that taking the wafer and the juice through transubstantiation becomes the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. We do take the fruit of the vine. We do take the bread represented in what we have here in our communion services. But we believe that there's one man,
yes, sir,
between God and man.
Amen.
The man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's interesting to know that God created man, then became man, so that he could redeem man and that we could become sons of God. You see, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. We're not talking about foolish preaching. We're talking about the necessity of it. God could have chosen any way he wanted to do it. He could have chosen a method whereby that nobody could resist his call. There are certain people today that in the tulip plan of Calvinism that believe there is irresistible grace to where the individual cannot resist at all. But their fallacy comes when they believe that God maybe is just going to save a few. Jesus Christ went to an old rugged cross, bore in his own body our sins on the tree so that all of us could have life and have it more abundantly. Just recently, we were privileged to have the Young Inspirations and the Primitives at Muncie Southside Middle School, and what an evening of gospel singing it was. I mean, it was just spiritual from start to finish, and people thought they were in an old-fashioned camp meeting or something. Both groups sang so well. The Young Inspirations are copying, or they are just like basically the originals. You're going to enjoy them on this song, When I Walk on Streets of Gold.
Thank you. There will come a happy time when all the bells of heaven chime and all saints will gather there at that meeting in the air. I will leave this world so cold, and I'll have a sure reward when I walk on the streets of gold with my Lord, with my Lord.
When I walk on the streets of gold, when I shake my Savior's hand, I will meet all the saints of old over there in the glory.
In glory,
heavenly sights I will then
behold,
and I'll join in the songs of praise.
When I walk on the streets of glory, one of these days,
just one of these days.
As I journey through this land, troubles abound on every hand, but I'll travel day by day in the blessed gospel way. When I enter heaven's fold, wondrous joys it will afford. When I walk on the streets of gold with my Lord,
with my Lord.
When I walk on the streets of gold, when I shake my Savior's hand, I will meet all the saints of
prophets
over there in the glory.
In glory,
heavenly sights I will then behold, and I'll join in the songs of
singing. When I walk on the streets of glory, one of these days,
yes, one of these days.
When I walk on the streets of gold, when I seek my Savior's hand, I will meet all the saints of old over there in the glory.
In glory,
heavenly sights I will then
behold,
and I'll join in the songs of
singing. When I walk on the streets of gold, one of these days,
yes, one of these days.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen. The late Billy Sunday was a former baseball player, very good at playing baseball, and then he turned to Christ and became an evangelist known basically, I guess, all over the United States and much of the world. He was very dynamic, and he was very forthright in his preaching and was quite a speaker. Billy Sunday has a quote that I think we would all do well to remember. He says, "The reason you don't like the Bible, you old sinner, is because it knows all about you." Unfortunately for all of us, that is so true that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says, "For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." It also says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Monday morning, I'm a guest of Ed Henry and Karen Turk on Real America's Voice. It's been quite an opportunity for us to reach a national audience. I hope that you might enjoy one of the more recent interviews we did with Ed and Karen.
The great Andrew Phipps. Andrew, good morning. Welcome back. How was your weekend, sir?
Good morning. I had a great weekend. Was in church yesterday, and I applaud you and Karen and for emphasizing that it's time for the gospel again. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is a great hat. I've actually got it at mailmanmediamusic.com. Make America Gospel Again. This patriot came on the show recently. He's a terrific guy. But I will tell you, in our live chat on Getter right now, Make America Gospel Again is losing. I hate to say that. I should say it's behind right now.
But it's losing to a great patriot.
To Beard Vet and BeardVet.com. People want me to wear the Beard Vet hat, Karen. And don't forget the Rav hat. Go to our website there and support Rav as well. In all seriousness, we're out on the road right now. We're in Franklin, Tennessee. I know you know this part of the country. You have friends that you visit here in the great state of Tennessee. Our friend John Rich hosted us at Redneck Riviera, and he talked about this battle between good and evil, this spiritual war, if you will, that we talk about with you, Andrew, pretty much every week. Let's listen to John Rich, and I want you to react.
Well, I mean, do you think America can continue on in the shape it's in right now?
Nope.
Okay. Well, if it can't continue on in the shape it's in right now, it needs to be in a different shape. You know, some things need to be torn down and rebuilt. And if that means we got to go through it, then let's go through it. I want to get my country back. And if that means we got a little pain, we'll take the pain. Let's fix our country. I honestly don't think it's sustainable at the rate we're at right now and in the current environment we're in. This is not livable for a lot of people. So, yeah, we have the right to pursue happiness, guys. We don't have the right to be happy. We don't have the right to be successful. We have the right to pursue those things. We have the right to exhaust our potential. Yep. So you ask me, you don't miss baseball games. No. You run a bar in Nashville. Yes. You're putting out songs. Yes. You're on the road with Big and Rich. Correct. How do you do all that? Because you have the right to. You have the right to exhaust your potential. Go take advantage of your rights.
He was juggling the fact that he was with us at the bar.
Was.
He had to go to a Little League game. He had to run out early
after doing
a song. He's still a dad like I am. And Andrew, you know what that's like to juggle all that. But he said, look, I feel like we're losing this country and we got to get it back. What are your thoughts when you hear that from the great John Rich?
I agree that we are losing. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have systematically destroyed the social, the political, and much of the economic foundations. I mean, it's an America that I do not recognize. When people are afraid to travel to just places at late at night or whatever, things that we used to do, now people are scared to do, that's not America. We've been known as a land where people are free, a government of laws and not of men.
Ooh, a government of laws and not of men. I love that. But, you know, it's really interesting to walk around this great country and be on the ground here in Nashville and see the difference. Just in a couple of years, you see all of the homeless people on the streets of Nashville. We're really having a mental health crisis more than anything in this country, Andrew. You know, what do we do about that? Is that a faith issue right now? Is it a God issue? Do we get back to God? How do we solve that mental health crisis? Because that's really plaguing this country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when anarchy rules, we're all in trouble. John Adams said that if men were angels, no government would be necessary. And so we have to have something that restrains passions and restrains people from doing horrible things. I mean, like the video where people are taking over the buses and jumping on cars and destroying property and putting citizens' lives in jeopardy. I really am afraid that this thing's going to come to a head and quickly. I don't like any kind of violence. I abhor it. But I'm just afraid when citizens are pushed to the utmost, when they feel they have no alternative, then I think we're all in a very bad situation. And our president is aiding and abetting this kind of nonsense. He's the worst of the worst.
Well, and Andrew, I want to see, because I just saw some. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And I think Ed and Karen, I know that God still reigns and rules. And, you know, when he was born, when Mary looked on his face, this was a little boy that had spoken the worlds in their place. And so I just think that. Unless we return, and that has to start with me, and it has to start with each person, and we have to do everything within our power. I mean, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and our offspring, this is going to be an America that's like a third world or a banana republic. I despise the thought of it, but we are just pushing the abnormal to the extreme, and something has to break.
It does. I just want to clarify the reason I was jumping in. Are you referring also, when you're talking about this violence, to Chicago? Because I woke up, and not too far from you in Indiana, you've got some kind of a teen day or something where they said that teenagers are going to take back the streets, and there's all kinds of violence. And the new mayor of Chicago is a Marxist. We've talked about that. And initially said the violence has to stop, but then backpedaled and said, well, you understand why these kids are disadvantaged and they're upset and they want to take what they think is theirs. They're looting and all the rest of it in the streets of Chicago, Andrew, and the mayor's not doing anything. Certainly the Biden administration's not doing anything.
Well, Karen, Ed, as you well know, atheism is one of the basic tenets of Karl Marx and Marxism. He said there is no God and the state is everything. And unfortunately, we've had about two generations that have been pushed with this dogma, with this indoctrination, the idea that that man doesn't have a soul, that there is no God. It's been in our education now for a good while, and in most of the social and economic. We see the nonsense with these corporations trying to push a woke agenda. And I'm just saying that most people in Indiana that I know, they just about had their fill of it. We've got to have somebody that's resolute, that's determined to get us back to our values. And if that means that we have to use whatever within our power, we must do it. We can't allow anarchy to completely control us. Otherwise, we might as well live in an authoritarian country ourselves.
Maybe we already do in some ways. And, you know, when you mentioned atheists, I don't know if you noticed, but the church bells started ringing. So I feel like that might have been a sign from above, Ann.
Or it was your doorbell or something.
Something.
I'm not sure.
It sounded like church bells.
It certainly did. Well, Andrew, answer Karen's question with this. I just want to put this up, Andrew. We're here around the Music City area, Tennessee, right outside Nashville. And there's this recording artist, and New York Post had the story, Granger Smith. Very popular, and says he's giving up his music career, which is quite successful, to join a Christian ministry. Quote, this is a new passion. Does that give you hope? I've got just a minute.
Well, I think that every one of us needs to be a minister. We need to share the gospel that Christ died, was buried, and is risen again, and that by childlike faith in him, we can have life and have it more abundantly. We use the King James Bible at our church. I believe it is inerrant, infallible, and we have to. Ministry is telling others about the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I praise his name for that today.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Andrew Phipps, we appreciate seeing you every single Monday at this time. Thank you for your inspiring words, my friend, and have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Be sure that you tell others about it. I'll be looking forward to being with you again at the next familiar time. This is Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.